Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I think we got Mr. Michael Irvin on the line right now.
Yeah,
talk
man,
to us
look,
about
look,
it.
This guy got close a few times. He got over the hump and won a few when he was in Dallas. We want to welcome the playmaker, Michael Irvin, to the show. Mike, what's going on, baby?
Man, how are you guys doing, man? I'm sitting out here in L.A. getting ready to watch these games here tomorrow, go to work. Looking forward
man,
to them.
Look, in L.A.? You're out in L.A.?
Well, yeah, that's what we do, the studio shows. If it's, you know, we're, if it's a single game, then we're on site at the game. But when it's games on all through the week, then we're usually doing it in the studio at the NFL Network.
It must be nice, baby. Michael Irvin of Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. His calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Mike, look, let's just talk big picture with the Houston Texans right now, man. I mean, I think out of the eight teams that are left right now, the Texans are the outlier that's been inconsistent. Obviously, the ceiling's really high, but unfortunately, the floor has been really low at times. Where is your confidence, confidence meter at right now with the Houston Texans as far as showing up and putting their best game on the field?
They having all the elements is one thing, and they have all the elements. But having all the elements perform and play at a proper time is another thing. And they've been, and that's where you can say the inconsistency has come with the Texans. You know, I think it's so huge. Just keeping Will Fuller some kind of way on the football field is a big thing if you can do that. And it, going into this game, two things. I think Houston needs Will Fuller on the field, but they also need to produce a little bit better of a run game to give some support to Superman, man. Deshaun Watson does too much Superman and not enough Clark Kent. And we need to find a way to get him some success as Clark Kent, turning around, just handing the ball off, and then also giving him some easy, quick throws down the field to Will Fuller.
Mike, we've been watching the Kansas City Chiefs over the past about 4 or 5 weeks, and their defense has been all of a sudden considered one of the better ones in the league based off of their performance. And quite frankly, I'm not believing it. Some of the opponents they played against haven't been up to snuff. When you talk about playing against an offense like the Chicago Bears, playing against the Chargers a couple of times. Are you a believer in the improvement of the Kansas City Chiefs defense, or am I fooling myself?
No, you know what? I like what I've seen from a standpoint of what they've done defensively. And I think sometimes they had to do that coming off of what they went through with the injury to Patrick Mahomes. So even though it was a downtime for the Chiefs, it was a good time for them defensively. They started playing better. They started doing things. They started matriculating the ball down the field as opposed to just winning with big passes. And, you know, so it taught them another element of the game. So I think they did improve in that time.
Mike, what about Hopkins? We waited way too late last time we had you on to get into this Hopkins, this receiver conversation. I can't believe we did it. I apologize on the front end of this one. I mean, when you talk about Hopkins, man, he zero catches last week in the first half as the team buries a hole or digs a hole.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Right? And look, and he, I think he had two targets, and then he comes out in the second half, and boom, he starts getting touches, and the offense takes off. I mean, how important is it that this Texans team – not only gets Hopkins involved, but gets him involved very early and very often?
It's very important. It's very important. Because as I was telling you about the run game, that's another element that can help you take the ball down the field is by getting Pop involved. Now, if I keep Fuller and Steele's healthy, what I'm doing is knocking the top off of the defense so they can't double-team Hop. And now – I want Deshaun Watson dropping back 3 steps, 4 or 5 steps, and just getting rid of the ball. Just getting rid of the ball. Don't make it all a great part. I want to see, since Bill O'Brien came from New England, I want to see the elements of New England's offense instilled into the Texans. And then when he has to do that super duper stuff, that's when Clark Kent goes in the phone booth and comes out Superman. He can't be Superman all day. He has to go. You see what I'm saying? Now this, when Tennessee gets that, then they're going to not just be able to go through a playoff, but have something that they can win for consistently in the playoffs.
Hey, Mike, you said Tennessee. Now, come on, we're in Texas, baby.
Well, when the Texans, I mean, when the Texans does that, I apologize.
You're going to get
when
us in Texans trouble on that, there.
Yeah, I don't want to get y'all in trouble, especially with the crossover, with the old Texans, with the old Houston Texans, the old Houston Oilers going to Tennessee, all of that. I don't want to get no crossover going on.
Hey, Mike, look here. I ain't too worried about you. If you get me or Wade, fire, Wade's going to be all right. I'm going to have to call you and ask for a loan now. Be careful now, brother.
I'm all right with that.
Hey, Mike, when you get to this point of the postseason, because you've been a guy that has been through the battles, you've won 3 Super Bowls, Hall of Famer, you've been through all the wars, what's going through your mind when you're in the divisional round of the playoffs? What's your thought process going into this game and going forward through the stretch run?
You know what I always said about this game, cause especially when a team played on Wild Card Sunday, it's so hard to turn around and then match the intensity of the team that has rested through Wild Card Sunday. And like for the Texans, for all those teams that played Wild Card Sunday, it's imperative that you have early success, because you got to meet and beat the hunger and the energy of the team that's been resting. So you need to have some kind of early success to get you some energy and get energized, as opposed to having not success early. And then you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, here we go. And they have more energy, and that momentum change, that momentum thing just swings on you big. You need to have early success.
That's Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Also, Wade Smith obviously sitting to my right. I'm Clint Sterner. Mike, we talk a lot about the Texans, man, and rightfully so, obviously, being down here, man. But this is a special treat this weekend to get to see Watson versus Mahomes, too. Mahomes and company, man, they're really special. When you talk about watching the game of football and appreciating the product you see on the field, these cats are special, man. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts about this offense.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them, man. Both of those young cats, man, Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, are just true gifts, man, that we landed on these young cats playing the way that they play, man. And I love it. I really do. I love watching them play. This is a matchup we're going to be seeing for a long time now. For a long time. It's so interesting that Tom Brady, Drew Brees, all the old heads are out of the playoffs, and it's left all these young guns that do it a little differently. They don't just do it with their arms. They do it with their legs. You know what I mean? They are a real weapon at the quarterback position, and we'll get a chance to watch it for the next few years.
I wouldn't be doing myself I would be doing myself wrong if I didn't ask you this question, man. You know, the Dallas Cowboys just signed a new head coach, Mike McCarthy. Of course, you are Michael Irvin of the Dallas Cowboys. Give me your thoughts on him becoming the new head coach of the Cowboys. Are you a fan of it, and how do you see him moving the Cowboys forward going forward in the future?
Well, I wanted to be wild with the hire. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to say, oh, wow, look at that. And I wanted a guy to come up here and give me a fired up, rah-rah speech. And that's what I think the Cowboys need, inspiration and motivation just as much as they need. You know, inspiration and motivation even more than they need talent, because I think they have that there. But when I sat and listened to the interview and listened to his press conference, you know, it started really growing on me, because Mike talked about taking a year away and learning the things he needed to learn to get better, learning from his mistakes and his ability to communicate with players and all of those things. And as a man who has enjoyed a second opportunity, I can appreciate a man that is going to try to correct his issues. In the Bible, they call that a mighty man of valor. He may get things wrong, but he'll work hard until he rights his wrongs. And I like what I heard in the press conference. And I'm looking forward to see what he does with the Cowboys.
Mike, you talked about the young guns, man, and rightfully so. I think there's a changing of the guard. These young cats are coming on awfully strong as far as being the faces of the NFL. But there's one old head still out there, man. And I know Russell Wilson, for me, falls in between. I don't know that he's not the best one of the bunch when you really get down to the nitty-gritty. But, boy, Aaron Rodgers is still out there doing his thing, man. How do you feel about Green Bay in the rest of the playoffs?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's like, for some reason, I say Aaron Rodgers is a little younger than Drew Brees. And I know he's a couple years because Tom Brady is 40. I think Aaron Rodgers is like 35, 36 years old. So, I think he just falls right up under that. But he is the last one up in that thing. He is the last one. And let me tell you why that thing is, why it's like this. You know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, they played in an era of football where you could hit and separate guys from the ball. When I had to catch a pass, the DBs can separate you from the ball. So what does that do? It forces you to have to get that ball out on a timing. When I drop 3-7-5 steps, I got to let the ball go now because it has to make it to him before that guy hits him in the mouth. But since they've relaxed on the rule and, you know, you got defenseless receivers, now we can give up some of that timing and accuracy for mobility. And now you're seeing the more mobile quarterback take over because he's allotted that governing moment where you can't hit the receiver until after he catches the ball. And I think once all those rules are in place, that's why you see guys take off like we're seeing these young guys take off. I do still see Russell Wilson as one of those young guys as part of this revolution, as he is. Well, he was good enough to be part of the ones that I believe are leaving now, the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees.
Mike, I want you to leave us this right here, man. How do the Texans get DeAndre Hopkins involved early and often?
Well, and it's what we talked about. I mean, they got to give him those opportunities in the slot. But I also believe give him some opportunities outside to go up top, because you get in the slot. It's hard for them to try to double-team him, especially if you got those two beasts on the outside, as much speed as they have. But also, you got it. I think you get them on the outside and give them some opportunities early to go up top. Whenever I knew I was going to get double-teamed a lot, I knew it was going to be a long day. Norv will say sometimes, I'm going to give you a shot up the field early. All it does is give me a little bit of energy. Okay, I'm going to get something. I'm not just going to get beat up on all day around. I'm going to get an opportunity to make a play. And I think you got to do the same thing with the op.
You got to throw that dog a bone, don't you, Mike? Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Mike, hey, man, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us, brother.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. And, yeah, you're right, though. And he is a dog, man. I love that dude, man. T-Hop, absolutely love him, man. He's a great player. And a great kid. I don't call him a kid, a great young man.
There you go. We're looking for a big day from him, man. I hope it's a big day because that means the Texans are rocking and rolling. Next up on Sports Radio 610, if you could pick one thing, deep dive. I ain't talking about the basic top broad brush type of stroking thing. One thing that the Texans can do different this weekend to help them get a victory, what would that be? Wade and I'll talk about that next. That Texans takeover is in full swing, baby, on the Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We are at Wolfie's on Lake Conroe on the north side. Y'all come through and hang. We'll be here for a little bit longer, giving away all kind of autographed items. We're down to a J.J. Watt helmet. Come on. And I believe around the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to give away those tickets to Kansas City Airfare Hotel, tickets to the game, obviously. So clear your schedule. Get ready to win that those tickets right there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man, because I'm going to be calling the people live. And you're going to be able to hear on air them winning these tickets to go to Kansas City. That's a pretty cool situation right there. So
no
I'm
doubt.
Looking forward to that at the bottom of the hour.
Well, you know what's crazy is I'll be honest with you, there's been many a time in my life where we've been sitting here Friday at about 5:20, and I say, hey, anybody want to go to Vegas tomorrow? Anybody want to go to New Orleans? Anybody want to go to – and then usually I got a couple buddies that are takers, right? They jump in and we rock and roll. So
that's my
cup of tea, man. Spur of the moment, get out of town, especially when it's something like this, man. You can go make You talking about making memories.
Spoken like a truly like a man that is without kids. No kids, yeah. No responsibilities. Let's just jump up and go to Vegas. Those days have gone by the wayside long time ago.
That may have something to do with why I'm 42 and in the shape I'm in right now, brother. But we'll talk about
that
later on.
You got a good one at home, baby.
No doubt. Hey, check it out. So if you could pick one thing, right, for the Texans to do differently or more of, or less of for that matter, to help them win a football game, what would that be, right? I mean, so for me, and I'll kick this thing off, Wade, so you kind of know where I'm going with it. For me, it's a lot along the lines of what we just talked to Michael Irvin, former Dallas Cowboy, about, and it's move DeAndre Hopkins pre-snap. It's moving pre-snap early in this football game. And when I say move, I don't mean move from the left side to the right side and get set and then everybody make their calls again and then all of a sudden we take off. That's not what I'm talking about. To me, the advantage is in snapping the football when the dude is moving into a bunch formation, or like last week we saw on the two-point play where Deshaun Watson reaches over. They used him as a decoy to swing in what I call a ghost motion back behind the quarterback. He faked the toss sweep, and then Deshaun Watson gets out the front gate. And those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. And I think it's got to be – I ain't talking about once or twice, Wade. I'm talking about all the damn time. And I felt like that for a while. And I want to – I've heard some audio this week from some guys that I respect and guys that you respect, obviously. And as I dig into the details of what they're saying, it just led me to believe – more strongly in what the hell I'm saying right now. And so what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this. Tyrann Mathieu, he was a Texan last year, obviously. He leaves, and keep in mind, when he goes to Kansas City, now it's for $14 million, but the conversation when he left, Wade, was he didn't feel like he was a great fit in Houston. And that tells me this right here. That tells me he knows what the hell Houston's doing defensively and what they're going to do moving forward defensively. So he knows this defense pretty good. But listen to what Tyrann Mathieu had to say here, and then we'll chop it up.
Teams are going to do what they do well. We're going to do what we do well. And it's going to really come down to whether or not we can identify certain guys in certain formations. Whether Duke could come into the game, you know, where is Hopkins lined up? Where is Fuller lined up? Is Carlos Hyde in the game? So I think all those things are kind of help us narrow down what we could possibly get on a particular play.
Wade, I don't know what else you need. That is the MVP of their defense. That is a guy that if this season was about 6 weeks longer, he'd have been in the MVP conversation for defense in this league. And he's sitting there telling you, hey, what this game plan comes down to is if we can identify where Fuller's lined up, if we can identify where Hopkins is lined up, then we got a better chance to win this football game. The key is offensively, don't let them get a bead on where the hell Fuller and Hopkins are lining up.
So this is the thing. I think what Tyrann Mathieu just did, he just spilled the beans. He let it be known that based off of the personnel that's in the ball game, the Texans have certain tendencies.
Yes.
That's why if there's one thing differently that I would want the Texans to do against the Kansas City Chiefs is run the ball with Duke Johnson. Because when Duke Johnson comes in the game, more times than not, it's a strong tendency that they're going to throw the ball. As opposed to when Carlos Hyde is in the game.
Sure.
He's in the game. They're going to hand the ball off. So first and second down, you got Duke Johnson in the game. Get in single back and hand them the ball. I don't think they're going to be prepared for that. And Duke Johnson is a very, very capable running back that can take over a ball game if you give him enough carries. And so when Sean Pendergast asked us earlier today, how many yards did the over-under with Carlos Hyde? That's the reason why I said under the 62 for Carlos Hyde. I want Duke Johnson getting those carries. I want Duke Johnson to push that 60, 70,
damn
80
it,
yards.
Damn it, I knew that's where you were going.
Listen, that is hey, – Duke Johnson Doug, is the key to this ball game Smitty. As far as offensively. So thank you for Tyrann Mathieu just co-signing my whole thought process going in the game, because he's probably looking at it the same way. Oh, Duke's in the game? Watch pass. We got to watch out for him out the backfield.
I need Sean to call his ass back in so me and you can have them answer them questions. I got to thinking about my answers to them questions, and I was like, it ain't all adding up. Like, if I had longer to think about my questions, it ain't all adding up what I was putting out. Hey, look here. Carlos Hyde's got to go for 200 yards this weekend for my bets to win right there.
I tell you what, you'll learn from me real quick. I don't make sucker bets.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make a bet, I'm going to have some validity behind it because I don't like giving up my money. So
well, you better man
give
to
me. Give me the over on Duke Johnson 10 times out of 10.
You're a better man than me because I believe if we gave 90%, at least I don't know about the women in here, but the men in here, if we gave them some truth serum, they've all made more sucker bets than they made good bets. I promise you that. So you're in a league of your own. But one more piece of audio here that I read between the lines, and I felt strongly, more strong about my opinions of moving Hopkins. This is Dan Orlovsky again, who we had on yesterday, talking about different formations and being creative in the offense.
If I'm Bill O'Brien and I'm Deshaun Watson, I've got to figure out what the plan with Kansas City is without Juan Thornhill, and then attack and see if it's Fuller, if it's Sorensen, who is the guy that is going to replace Juan Thornhill in your man blitz package coverage, and then I have to make sure that I'm finding ways to get Stills or DeAndre Hopkins on those guys early on as much as possible.
In order to get Hopkins on a specific guy, you got to move him.
Yeah.
You can't plant him to the boundary, because if you plant him to the boundary, they're going to put who they want on him, and then they're going to probably put a safety over the top or a backer squeezed inside. So in order to get who you want on Hopkins, you're going to have to strategically move him around the field, both with motions and formations, and get him the matchup that he needs and that he wants, Wade. So, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. You got to make the defenses communicate and work relative to where Hopkins is, right? You got to give Hopkins a chance to get 10 to 12 catches, not 6. You got to give him a chance to get 10 to 12. That means you got to target him 15 or 16 times, right? You got to target him, and he can have a 200-yard game. That's the kind of approach that I think needs to be there for Hopkins. People go, 200 yards? Damn, that's a bunch. Don't forget Fuller had a 200-yard game, 14-catch, 200-yard game earlier in the season.
Yeah.
It's not a stretch now. It's not a stretch to get that guy that kind of game. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying you got to go into it with those kind of intentions based off of how you scheme it up and get him to rock.
And I tell you what, when you're talking about a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, over-targeting him, you're really not going to go wrong in a situation like that.
Right, right.
This is a guy that is a first-team All-Pro back-to-back years. This is a guy that you know that when the ball's in his vicinity, either he's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. And so I don't mind that thought process at all. And think about it. The Texans' offense has to be like water. There's got to be a lot of movement and a lot of motion. You can't be stagnant at all. If you got a lot of movement, a lot of motion, and you're dictating and being aggressive and targeting DeAndre Hopkins, good things are going to happen.
Wait, I think this, it's not on a rundown, so I'm guessing. Tell me if I'm wrong. Outside of Deshaun Watson, offensively, outside of Deshaun Watson and the legs and the RPOs and the reads that you and I have talked to death, Duke Johnson's your guy getting involved.
He's the key to the game.
No doubt.
He is my key to the game. I'm talking about in the run game and in the pass game. Catching the ball out of the backfield, lining up in the slots, lining up wide. Duke Johnson, to me, when the game is over, people are going to say Duke Johnson is the reason, and getting him involved in the game is the reason why the Texans are now going to the AFC Championship game.
I love it. I knew that's right where you were going, baby. So we're on the same page. We got one more segment here at Wolfie's on Lake Conroe. You're listening to Wade Smith, Clint Sterner on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Next up, we're going to talk about essentially all you need to know about the Kansas City Chiefs before the Texans catch their flight into that snowy Kansas City weather and that game kicks off on Sunday. So you don't want to miss this next segment. We're going to talk about it all, break it down, chop it up, cuss and discuss it right here on Sports Radio 610. What's going on, everybody? Clint Sterner here again. I'm joined by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texans offensive lineman. Wade, man, it's been a good day out here at Wolfie's, baby. We're at Wolfie's on Lake Conroe. It's been a great, great day.
Yeah, man, it's been an amazing day out here. Got a bunch of fans out here, a bunch of listeners out here, people coming from all over the city to show us love personally. In the loop earlier in the day, man, a lot of loopholes came through. A lot of listeners of the Clint Sterner Show came through. And it's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of Texans fans that are excited about what's going on in the city of Houston and the opportunity that they have in front of them of winning a game that would put them in the AFC Championship game. So I'm excited as well.
Yes, sir. As well you should be, Wade Smith. That old restroom break caught me off guard a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. That old restroom break caught me off guard right there. 20 seconds. Come on in, baby. I had a right up against it right there. Well, look, I mean, here's the deal, Wade. I didn't do that, man.
Not
enough time for that right there. I'm a grown man, son. It takes me a little longer than that. I just had to relieve myself a little bit. I did wash my hands for the record, though. Wade, look, the Kansas City Chiefs, They're a hell of an opponent, man. And when it all boils down to it, we've watched a ton of film. We've talked about them ad nauseum, obviously, over the last, golly, 7 days. We're less than 48 hours from kickoff at this point in time. And for me, there's a handful of things that I think this fan base can really take to the bank about this football team. I mean, obviously, they got a 6-game winning streak coming, and we've talked about it. Well, the opponents aren't they? And when at the end of the day, you've won 6 straight games, you've done something, okay? And earlier today in the show, my man Lock Dog, I know a couple days ago, JB, our guy that sits in every now and then on a host, he may have rubbed old loopholes wrong a little bit earlier, so. I'm gonna do a little making up here and let old Lock Dog.
A little quick on the trigger.
Yeah, he was quick on the trigger right there. I'm gonna let my man Lock Dog, which he did a hell of a job earlier breaking down everything, but he did a hell of a job breaking down the schedule. And quite frankly, I just don't know that I could do a better job. So here is Landry Locker from In the Loop breaking down the schedule and the weakness of that schedule that the Chiefs have played to this point.
The 10 games that the Kansas City Chiefs have played since they faced the Houston Texans in week 6 and this godly defense that I keep hearing about in regards to the Chiefs, okay? All right, first of all, they beat the Denver Broncos 30-6 with Joe Flacco as quarterback. Mm-hmm. Okay, Joe Flacco was the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and they beat him 30-6. Congratulations. They then played the Green Bay Packers, and they lost 31-24. That's a decent offense. Aaron Rodgers torched them 300 yards, 3 touchdown passes. So not so good. They then beat the Minnesota Vikings, which is a good win. But Kirk Cousins did throw 3 touchdowns in that game. They won 26-23. So that's 3 games in of this great defense. They lost to the Tennessee Titans 35-32 in a game in which Patrick Mahomes threw for 446 yards. Mm-hmm. Okay, 446 yards of passing, and they lost to the Tennessee Titans 35-32. Oh, by the way, Derrick Henry had 188 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Titans. They then beat the Chargers 24-17 in Mexico. Phillip Rivers threw 4 interceptions. That's why the Chargers don't want him anymore.
Yeah.
He wasn't good this year. He was awful. They then beat the Raiders 40-9. Congratulations on that. They beat the Pats 23-16. Their offense wasn't good. And then they beat Denver in the snow. It was snowing. I think it's important to keep in mind. 23-3.
Goes back to my nobody's talking about.
There you go. And they beat the Bears 26-3, and they beat the Chargers once again. Let me just give you numbers that show what kind of offenses the Chiefs have been facing since they played the Texans. The average yards per game, the ranking for the offenses that they faced, is 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The average points per game is 19th. Don't tell me this Chiefs defense is good. You can move the rock on this Chiefs defense.
Wait, I don't know that I could do it better myself.
He broke it down nicely, and he let it be known and showed you with statistics, with actual seeing the different ball clubs that they played, that, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs defense has played well towards this down the stretch, but they haven't played against very good football teams and definitely very good offenses. And so the Texans offense, when it's playing at its best or near its best,
yeah,
they're one of the best offenses in the league. So that bodes well for them going against Kansas City in the playoffs.
Well, when you look at the Kansas City team, they got the 6-game winning streak. 5 of those 6 games were versus bottom third in the NFL in scoring. Now, look, I'm not a stat guy. I think a lot goes into figuring that number. But when it's all said and done, I'd damn sure rather play teams from the bottom third than the top third. That's for sure. It's the 7th best scoring defense, with giving up 19.3 points per game. By the way, I looked that up, they're just ahead of San Francisco on the defensive side of football.
Well, remember, towards the last half of the season, San Francisco 49ers have given up a ton of points.
No. There's no doubt about it. I'm just saying, you and I both think San Francisco is a pretty damn good defense. Well, this Kansas City team, I know schedules and quarterbacks and all that jive. There's no doubt about it. San Francisco's played a monster schedule, especially as of late, relative to
the opposite.
Yeah,
of what Kansas City has.
There's no doubt about it. But in a 17-game sample, you've got they're ranked one team better on the defensive side of the football, giving up less than 20 points per game. It's the 5th best scoring offense in the game at 28.2. I will say that's about a touchdown less than what they were last year. So as we talk about this offense, they're good. There's no doubt about it. They're great. But when it's all said and done, they're not quite as good as they were last year. At least statistically, they're not. I think a couple of things that from an injury standpoint, Wade, is there's no Thornhill, big safety that had played great next to Tyrann Mathieu, figuring out, we heard from Dan Orlovsky earlier, figuring out what they're going to do with the absence of Thornhill at safety next to Tyrann Mathieu is going to be a big deal. That guy's, he's out, he's done, he's done for the season. He's not an option. Replacing him is going to be a problem for this Kansas City defense.
Yeah, losing Thornhill is a bigger loss for Kansas City than Tashaun Gibson being a loss for the Houston Texans. I think Jahlil Dye has a good chance that he might be able to play.
Yeah.
Losing Thornhill, he was a big-time player for them this year.
Yeah.
So you take him out of the fold, and now they're trying to figure out how they're going to replace his production, replace his playmaking ability. That's something that the Texans are going to have to exploit when it comes to the matchups in the secondary.
Right. Well, wait, when you look at any team that at this point in the year, with the exceptions of like a dynasty like New England was, I mean, every team has to have two or three guys emerge, and Thornhill was one of those guys that had emerged. He jumped on the scene as a youngster and was playing really above the level of anybody of expectations. And most teams at this point in time that are still playing, they've got three or four, maybe even more guys that are doing that. Thornhill's one of them. He's gone. A couple other guys that the Kansas City Chiefs have back that they did not have week six that I think are difference makers are Jones in the middle, And then Anthony Hitchens at linebacker. Those two guys will make a difference in the Texans' ability to run the ball both inside and outside, because Hitchens can go sideline to sideline, not quite as well as Zach Cunningham can with the Texans, but he can go sideline to sideline.
Hitchens is a good football player at the second level. Chris Jones is one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL for sure, one of the top two or three interior defensive linemen in the NFL. And what the problem he's going to pose to the interior three guys of the Houston Texans in the pass game is going to be something to look at. They're going to have to focus on double teaming him any chance that they can in the pass game. It's one of those situations where, like when I was playing with Dwayne Brown and we're going against Dwight Freeney over there, I'm going to have an extra eye and I'm going to lean to Dwayne Brown and I'm going to let Chris Myers handle this inside guy, because I know Dwayne's going to need help out there with Freeney. Chris Jones is one of those type of guys on the interior where Nick Martin's going to have to favor to his left or favor to his right, depending on where Chris Jones is. And so that's something to look at. I will say this about the run game. When you talk about running downhill at the Kansas City Chiefs, they do not do a good job holding up when it comes to that type of game. So that physical type of game, coming off the ball, hitting you in the mouth, they don't fare too well with that. Now, if you try to be cute and get to the outside and outrun them, then you might have some issues, because those linebackers do a good job of scraping and going sideline to sideline. But if you can get downhill, you can cause those guys trouble. And so that's what the Texans are going to have to do.
Wade, we're giving away our at least the last qualifier can qualify at 5:45 for the Texans Chiefs flyaway. We'll give you the cue to call. You need to stay tuned. You got about 3 minutes. Call all your friends. Make sure you tell them to turn on the radio. And when this cue to call hits here shortly, make sure you pick the phone up and try to be that last qualifier. We're going to take a qualifier at 5:45, and we're going to jump into essentially giving this trip away, which is absolutely big time. So if you're listening, stay tuned. Get your phone ready. You got a couple minutes. Call all your friends and make sure they're dialed in. Call your friends. Call everybody. Call your family. Call them all, baby. Wait, I hadn't got a chance to talk to you. We'll spend a couple of minutes here talking about these other football games. Minnesota at San Francisco. San Francisco's -7, man. When I look at this football game, I cannot help but, for whatever reason, after Kirk Cousins getting over the hurdle last week and winning a big game in the fashion that he did, I can't help but lean towards Minnesota in this game. I know San Francisco, you and I, man, have been really high on him all year long. But, man, with San Francisco kind of coming back down to earth a little bit late in the season, and Minnesota, really just, I think, taking the next step last week. I hope they did. This is a big game, man.
I tell you what, I'm on the side of the 49ers. I think the 49ers win this game in a close one. So if you're looking at the betting line, give me the Vikings and the points. I don't think it's going to be a 7-point ball game. This is going to be a field goal type ball game. You've seen San Francisco has done a good job of winning those type of games.
Yeah.
The reason why they're the number one overall seed is because they won one of those field goal type ball games against the Seattle Seahawks. Their defense, I think, is going to make a play, one or two more plays than the Minnesota Vikings do, and they'll come out with the W. Give me the Vikings. 27-24.
All right, the second game on Saturday, Titans at the Ravens. I mean, ultimately, this game is a big piece of possibly putting the AFC Championship right here at NRG Stadium. So obviously the viewership will be through the roof here on the Gulf Coast and in South Texas, and probably all of Texas, to be honest with you, because the Cowboys are sitting at home and the Texans are playing. So it's a big game, man. The Ravens minus 10. I mean, I think this money's going to be split both ways, man.
I tell you what, give me the Ravens and the points. Listen, this game is going to be 30-17 Ravens. I just think that the Titans are going to have a very, very difficult time slowing Lamar Jackson down. People are talking about Mark Ingram potentially not being at his best. Gus Edwards can tote that note. Yep. He can tote that ball. And so if Ingram is not himself, they'll still be able to give that ball to the running back when Lamar Jackson doesn't keep it. And he's still got those three tight ends that are all healthy, the defense that blitzes and gets after people. Give me the Ravens and the points for sure.
You got it. Well, what the other ones next right here? But before we do that, we got to give away this, at least we got to give our last qualifier, your chance to win tickets to Sunday's Texans-Chiefs game in Kansas City happens right now. There it is. You have it. You can thank Miller Lite. You can thank Sports Radio 610 for giving you that opportunity. I hope. Congratulations to whoever just got in on this big time giveaway. Wade, it's we got about, man, I don't know, about 5 or 6 minutes before we're gonna make that call to the lucky winner and force them to change their plans. And what I want to do, man, let's get to the Seattle-Green Bay game real quick, man. We didn't get to that. Seattle at Green Bay. Green Bay minus 7. I'm high on Green Bay. You give me Aaron Rodgers and two defensive ends that can go get the quarterback with anybody out there, they can win football games, particularly in the playoffs, particularly against this field. Maybe not the Ravens, but if it's not Lamar Jackson, Green Bay is going to be fits for anybody. What do you think about the Seattle-Green Bay game, Green Bay minus 7?
See, this is my upset special. Give me Seattle straight up, man. I think they go on the road.
Okay.
I think Russell Wilson is – to me, Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's the most consistent guy out there. He can make every play with his arm, and he can make every play with his feet. And so I think Russell Wilson has a huge game. DK Metcalf has a huge game. He's a guy that's really difficult to deal with for secondaries. And so give me the Seattle Seahawks 24-21, beat the Packers, upset special by me, Smitty.
I like it, Smitty. Hey, check this out. Diana Curl. Diana Curl is the last qualifier for the trip. The Texans Chiefs fly away. We will draw. They're drawing back at the station. They're going to text me right here. Anybody wants to see the text, they can see them. They're going to text me the winner. We're gonna make a call to that winner. So all the qualifiers are in. They'll draw back at the station. And, again, that winner, it's hotel, airfare, tickets to the game, to a game, again, that could get the Texans to a place, Wade, that they've had three chances in history to get there. But this is a chance that the Texans could get to that AFC Championship. That would be absolutely huge, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Miller Lite, man. Shout out to those guys for helping to make this happen. You got to think about this. This is a huge opportunity for the person that's about to win this. I'm excited for them. I'm excited to hear the reaction. Hopefully they have their phone by them so we can get them live on the air. That's important.
Yes.
You don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So if you're one of the qualifiers, Diana Curl was the last one to qualify, make sure you have your phone ready to go, because we're about to call you in a very, very short period of time.
Wade makes a very, very great point. If you're a qualifier, make sure that you've got your phone next to you and answer that sucker. Don't be like me and be screening people's calls. Now, I've been known to screen folks like Shaq used to screen for Kobe at the top of the key, man. You do not want to screen this one. And we will make that call live on air, so be locked and loaded. Wade, players to watch, man. I want to talk a little bit more about this Texans game, just real quickly about players to watch. Mine's Justin Reed. There's a lot going to be thrown at the safeties in this game. Justin Reed's a player to watch. Wade, who you got?
My player to watch on offense, I talked about earlier, is Duke Johnson. I think Duke Johnson is a guy that I plan on seeing him have over 150 yards of total offense. You know, he might have 80 yards rushing and 70 yards receiving and a touchdown. If you were still playing fantasy football, he was a guy that you would want to play right now. But I think most leagues are over right now.
Gotcha.
But I think Duke Johnson is a difference maker. He's a matchup problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a big-time player that I think is going to get plenty of opportunities to touch the ball, and it's going to work out in the Texans' favor by utilizing Duke Johnson.
Wade, I love it. I love the fact Duke Johnson in the run game has come on strong. You talk about a guy coming over at a big-time moment and providing a spark, man. Was that a third-round pick?
Third round pick
for Duke Johnson. That's
JB
big time.
JB said it was too much.
Yeah, no, JB's going to be dead ass wrong again. JB's going to be dead ass wrong again. Here's the deal. Yeah, look here. We got a winner, my man. We got a winner.
Let's recognize that name, Clint.
I do not. Okay. Hell, the bad thing is I'm not real sure that I can say it. I'm liable to butcher it. I'm gonna call him by his first name right here.
Make sure you pay attention.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got it. Make sure.
Okay.
Hey,
it was
here
one
we go.
Thing at first, and it changed.
That's right. Go ahead. We're gonna dial him up real quick.
Hello.
Is this Shane?
Yeah.
Shane, you know who this is, my man?
I do know who this is. Please tell me this is not a joke.
No, sir. This is not a joke, my man. You got any plans tomorrow?
I do now.
Talk to us a little bit. Who you taking with you, man?
Shoot, I would be in deep trouble if I wasn't taking my wife.
Ooh, there you go. That's a smart man right there. Well, look, brother. A hotel, airfare, tickets to the game, courtesy of Miller Lite, courtesy of Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. Man, congratulations. Grab your wife. Go make some long-time memories that you will never, ever forget. Congrats, my man.
Dude, this is unbelievable. I want to cuss, but I know I can't do it on the radio.
We got a dump button, man. Let it ride,
hey,
baby.
Hell, shit, bro.
Congratulations, Shane. Hey. Congratulations.
Hey, look.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
You got it, brother. I don't want to rush you off the phone, man, but you got to go. You got a flight to book. You got some bags to pack. You got a wife to get right because I know she's going to take a little longer than an hour to get packed up. So, man, get off
you
the phone.
Lying,
go
man.
Take care of business, man. Congratulations.
Hey, bro. Hey, man, I appreciate it. Hopefully we bring back a Texan win.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wait.
Oh,
you know,
I got to tell you. Thanks again, man.
You got it.
What's
man.
Up,
Shane, there you have it, man. It's B-Mac. You got him. Everything taken care of that back at the studio, baby?
Yeah, except for him. You tell him to cuss on the air. We're good.
Oh, well, I mean, that's all right. You got a dump button. He hit it. It's okay. Hell, we'll be all right. We'll live. Everybody will be okay. Look, wait, before we jump out of here, man, we've talked at length about Deshaun Watson. I think the elephant in the room, I think the biggest key to this particular football game is absolutely getting Deshaun Watson involved in the zone read, the QB plus one run game, the RPOs. It worked week six. It's worked every time that they've applied that game plan during four quarters of a football game. It's worked. It's the way the Texans need to win football games. I mean, it's not rocket science. They got to get four involved with his feet, man.
No question. They got to establish the unconventional run game using jet sweeps with Stills and Carter.
Yes, sir.
Joan Reed's with Duke and Carlos Hyde, RPOs, the single back underruns with Duke Johnson, like I mentioned earlier. Utilize the play action off of those same actions that they've been using for those unconventional runs. And you got to force the Chiefs to defend the entirety of the Texans offense. You got a bunch of really good skilled players. Hop, Fuller, Stills, Duke, Hyde, Fells, Akins, Carter, and Gilly. All these guys, you got to get them involved in the game.
Gotcha.
Defensively, offensively also, make Pat Mahomes a spectator. If he's sitting on the sideline watching, he's not driving the team down the field and scoring touchdowns. And then the Texans need to create two turnovers, win the turnover battle by one. They do all of those things, the Texans will get a W, 27-23. Texans win. Ooh. AFC Championship
27-23. I'm going to ride with Smitty on that 27-23 Texans win right there. I can go with that. I think it's a little fool's goal to think they're going to stay on the field for 40 minutes, but definitely limiting the time that Pat Mahomes is on the field is big time. Wade, if you had to call your wife right now and say, babe, I need you to pack your bags. We're leaving in the morning. How would that go? How would you address that?
It would go great because she packs much better than I do, and it'll be well put together. I'll know where all my stuff is at. I'll give her a phone call. Like, hey, we going to KC? She's like, all right, baby. Who's going to watch the kids? We're going to find out who's going to watch the kids, get the babysitter set, or call my mom and tell her to come down here and watch them, and then we'll be gone, man.
Oh, man.
We're a pro at moving now. You play in five different franchises in your career. You know how to get packed up and move when you need to.
You just pick that phone up and say, baby, run a rag through it, pack a bag. Let's go. Let's get loose. We're going to Kansas City to make some memories. Next up, Mark Vandermeer. He talks with Coach O'Brien in person. D.P. Sidhu goes behind enemy sidelines. Whoa, wait, look out. With Josh Briscoe from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. How many Kansas City hosts are we going to talk to on Sports Radio 610 this week? We got a bunch of them. But Deepi Sidhu, she goes behind those enemy lines with Josh Briscoe from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. And John Harris, my man, John Harris, he breaks down his keys to a Texans win at Kansas City. And check it out, there's nobody that studies harder than John Harris. I guarantee you them keys will be well thought out, and they will come to life. From Wolfies on Lake Conroe, my man Wade Smith, my man George, the street team, everybody here that came out to support, all the listeners out there, to my man Shane that's getting with his wife right now and heading towards the airport in the morning.
Congrats.
Thank you,
Shane,
guys,
baby.
so much. From Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader, we're out.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.